Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host, Upendra Verma, and today we have Sindre Halland here with us. Sindre here is the CEO and co-founder of a company called SalesScreen. Hey Sindre, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to be here.
All right, Sindre, so let's try to understand what SalesScreen does, right, and why customers are willing to pay you money.
Sure. So high level, SalesScreen is a sales gamification platform. So we're made to motivate salespeople reach their goal and really do that repetitive, sometimes boring job that they have to do every day that is so important to get the goal, but do it with a smile.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just give us a sense about your customers, right? So who are you primarily serving to? So what's your typical customer look like?
Typical customer has a large sales team. They do primarily work transactional, meaning that could be like phone sales or real estate brokers, or you know, someone's selling insurance, something that isn't too complex. And they have a very tight and well-established sales process, meaning that, for instance, they could be very basic. They have requirements that they should hit like 100 dials per day, and that should give this many conversations, this many offers sent, and this many, you know, deals won. And at that point in time, you will really start to feel some big pains. Number one, like from a middle management point of view, really making them get that activity in every day consistently is tough. Number two, it's like, it's kind of like wear people out. You know, you've got a constant stream of rejections. It's not always that fun. So you will have high turnover, and that costs money to recruit new people and get them ramped. So those are some of the big pain points, but also over time, you will see that there's a big chunk of people in the middle of the tree, or like even some bottom performers that's, you know, they're making the effort and they're doing okay, but not really fulfilling their potential. And that's also a very big pain point that we're helping solve, is to get the most out of the middle and bottom performers of a sales team by making their sales work more fun and exciting.
But that makes a lot of sense, right? So just give us a sense of, you know, how many customers using your platform today, right? So just want to get a sense of that, right? So how many active paying customers you've got today?
Roughly 300 different logos using the platform today. And that gives us...
And can
us,
I ask, like, how big of...
20,000...
Okay, so is that 20,000 is your typical ACV? Is that what you think?
Ironically, China, a bit higher, but I was about to say a bit over 20,000 active monthly sales reps in the platform. There's quite a lot of people enjoying SalesScreen today. We're roughly $8 million in annual recurring revenue. So,
that sort of helps, right? So just, sort of give us a sense of your growth trajectory today, right? So where were you, let's say, 12 months before today, right? So approximately.
Yeah, last year was a special year. For context, you know, last year was 2023. That was a tough year for the software industry in general. And we had a lot of BDR teams and software sales teams on our platform that contracted or outright churned because they lost their funding or did major restructure. So we only grew about 15% last year, but it was a year of big transformation for us as well, because we also achieved profitability. So we're one of those types of customers right now that keep on being profitable while growing at a healthy rate. So say, you know, 20 or so, a bit more than that percentage is probably the goal for us, or is the goal for us this year. So
that makes a lot of sense, right? So just want to get a sense of, you know, how your sales motion typically looks like, right? So these are like mid-market enterprise deals, right? So what happens, right? So how do you close a deal? And just help us understand the whole funnel, right? So how do you discover a customer and how do you end up closing them? Just give us a sense of how that's working for you.
Sure. So historically, we've been a sales-led growth company, which means that you have people working outbound, very structured, where they target our ideal customer profile, and then build sequences and reach out. We have, over the past couple of years, seen a shift over to inbound, So I would say from having a 50-50 split between outbound and inbound, it's been more like 90-10 in favor of inbound. And that's now gradually shifting back again towards more of that 50-50 split that we're used to. So clearly there are things happening on a macro scale here that's a bit out of our control, but that's been the main source of like focus on the go-to-market side. But we have built up in parallel a product-led growth motion. So we are transitioning over to a product-led sales motion where the smaller teams for, you know, good brand exposure and also to get a more cost-effective solution may self onboard and try it out and get value from SalesScreen, while you know, our sales team can focus more of their time and effort on the enterprise segment, which makes for a more, let's say, cost optimized go-to-market motion for the business in general. So we're excited to see if we've gotten our first customer on this route, and we're looking forward to do general availability, hopefully sometimes in Q2 of 2024, so that everyone can sign up for themselves without talking to us.
Yeah. And then just thinking here, right? So does a platform like sales gamification make sense for somebody who's just, you know, who's an SMB, right? Does it even make sense for them, right? Because we're looking at, you know, gamification, it's like you've got to have a whole bunch of sales reps out there, right? Only then it might start making sense, right? So how are you looking at that with this whole new product, you know, growth approach that you're looking at?
We'd be surprised how many people are struggling even at lower headcounts with getting the team amped up and motivated. So we do have a steady stream of demand, which we regard as too small, because obviously the value of the sales gamification platform increases with the team size. So the more people you have, the harder it is to really recognize the individual and motivate them on an individual matter, and really get the most out of the whole spectrum of your team. So I would say the way that we see it is that we're spending probably too much time on SMBs that we should. They should be able to get going much easier, swifter, and on their own. And also at the same time, the enterprise companies don't necessarily buy straight off the bat anymore. They want to try it out themselves. It's like just part of the more modern buying journey. So being able to be, let's say, a frontline manager without a lot of budget in an enterprise and actually get going for free and then for a small amount, keep at it until there's so many people using it in the enterprise that it makes sense to kind of like look at single sign-on and enterprise grade features and like the full depth of the platform. I think that really makes sense. So I believe this is just like a refinement or next evolution of the go-to-market model in SaaS.
Yeah, so Sindra, like, can you just get a sense of like your typical ACV? Like, and like, what's the biggest deal you've closed so far, right? So just want to get a sense of that split here again, right?
So I would say an average, it's just above 25K typically.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest deal that we've closed is,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's over $1 million, so.
Okay, so just want to, I'm specifically asking you this question, right? Because I was just talking to your website. Are you like, you know, when you have to close these deals, right, you have to make your product, you know, enterprise compliant, right? So in terms of security and all of it, right? So are you SOC 2 compliant? Do you do all of that? Or like, where is your primary customer base that you're trying to serve today?
Yeah, I mean, we started early on. So we are even ISO 27001 certified. And obviously that's an investment, takes some time, but you got to have these types of capabilities on the single sign-on side, on the security, privacy, compliancy side, to be able to cater to the biggest enterprises. And, you know, you mentioned to me prior to we started here that you're based out of India. Our latest customer that came on board was Adobe with more than, I think, 500 people out of India. Mm-hmm. And clearly those types of companies wouldn't just pick any vendor because they have quite strict guidelines on who they can partner with. So
that makes a lot of sense. So just help us understand the backstory here, right? So when did you start the company and, you know, how many people you've got today on your team?
Sure. So SalesScreen is the product that that came on market 1st of March 2014. I started the company back in 2011. At the time, I was just a computer science major student, surrounded by smart people, and we started a company doing consultancy work while trying to explore and iterate over different solutions that could lead to our first SaaS. And it was one of those products that we created, corporate messaging application that one of our clients used to send messages internally every time someone closed a deal to kind of create excitement and awareness and like that buzz, both in the call center, but also in the field. And that use case grew into SalesScreen, which was one of the first sales gamification platforms on the market. That was launched in 2014. So from that point and onwards, we've just been able to grow organically, and we haven't really spent a lot of money to grow either. It's been very cost efficient from the get-go. So it wasn't until 2018 we raised our first round of money from outside investors. Up until that point, we were 100% financed by employees.
Yeah, where were you as in terms of revenue in 2018 when you raised that first round?
I think we were around $2 or $3 million at that mark.
And where did you invest all of that external funding into? Was it on, ramping up your sales team, and what was that?
Going international. So this company is founded and started back in Norway, in Europe, which is a tiny, tiny country. Like, we have 5 million people. It's not a good place to grow a big software as a service company that is seat-based licensing model. You kind of like need to get into bigger markets. And US was fairly one of those markets that we dreamt about that would be a good fit for our product. So we raised money from a strategic investor who had relationships and experience with the US market that could help us bridge the gap culturally, but also financially to take this to the US. And we did that and really leaned into the US market in 2019, and it's now our fastest growing market globally. So it's a good decision.
And like, how much did you raise in 2018?
We didn't need a lot of money. Bear in mind that we didn't have any money prior to that round. So we just took in a couple of $1 million. And then we've done that a couple more times. So I think maybe in total we've raised roughly $7 million over the lifetime of this company.
And talk about the whole retention here, right? I'm assuming you must have pretty good retention rates given ticket sizes, but just talk about how that works and your typical expansion as well.
Our retention numbers are similar to most enterprise softwares in that segment. We have roughly 110 to 120% NRR. Mm-hmm. Historically, perhaps even been better. I would say across our customer base, because we do also have quite a bit of smaller clients, it's lower. So it's still above 100% NRR, but on a gross revenue retention side, we retain roughly 80-85% per year. So we still need to, sell in order to grow. But it's a decent business, and one that we believe is going to grow. Like, the space that we're in, there's so many talks about AI and machine learning and people replacing SDRs and salespeople all over. But like, ultimately, humans are going to be involved in go to market. And if you have humans involved, they will need to do boring, repetitive tasks. And that would greatly benefit from some fun gamification elements. Like, I think I haven't really specified it. Maybe it's almost like a given. Like, when I started a company, nobody heard about gamification. Now I feel like everyone knows it. But in principle, you just take game like elements and apply it to something that has nothing to do with games, like leaderboards, competition, rewards, badges, achievements, trophies, these kind of things, to kind of like spice up something that has nothing to do with the game. With games, makes people.
So I can understand that. Back in 2014, I think you must have been like one of the first ones to this category, right? So, like, was there any conscious decision that you made to just, not raise excessive amount of money and, just, grow crazily, like how a typical category creator might do, right? For example, Outreach, Salesforce, they had to do all of that, even Gong, all of it, right? So because the moment they realize that they've got a new category, there is tons of money, and then, they just, crazily try to expand, right? So was there any conscious decision that you made, back then? to just, you know, grow, keep on growing sustainably, you know, without, you know, raising excessive amounts of money?
We were actually leading up to a bigger growth round, and we had several offers on the table that, and unfortunately, our outside investor didn't think was attractive enough. So we could quickly have ended up at the similar journey. But when the market corrected itself, we decided to go back to a bit of our bootstrapped roots and think more about profitability and sustainable growth. But clearly, you know, I raised money for a reason. And one of them were, we were actually working with Oracle as a client, and they were expanding. We were expanding with them quite rapidly across all of their hubs, even to the APAC region and to the North America region, until, you know, their IT team centrally challenged us, saying, you're not really using any Oracle technology in your offering, and we don't have any vendors that doesn't use Oracle technology. So you gotta, you know, transition off of Microsoft Azure and over to Oracle if you want to keep us as a client and keep on growing. And also, we're a bit concerned because you're, you know, you don't seem to have, we have a history of crushing startups because we're so big and we have like tens of thousands of sales reps. So like, how much money have you raised? How many people are you? And you know, at the time we were only 25 or so, and we hadn't raised any money. So we realized that, okay, there is a market opportunity, like enterprises and companies really want this, but also we need outside funding to gain the muscles to be able to really deliver this globally and at scale. So we had to do it if we wanted to continue to grow and take that opportunity. Today, we're just above 50 employees, so we're still quite cost-effective. Down maybe from, I think it was 70 at the most. But it's, you know, that's a correction that most of software as a service companies have gone through the recent years.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? So simply like one last question, right? So what's the vision here, right? Where do you see your company in the next 2 to 3 years?
The vision for SalesScreen is really around that middle management layer, because I think they're being burnt out and drained and just, I don't know, beaten and pulled in every direction these days. Like there's less of them as well because of the focus on cost. And it's really tough to get people ramped up and get them excited to do the hard work that they need to do every day and keep them delivering at scale. So if we can help and really make their life easier, really make the day-to-day work life of sales reps all over globally fun and exciting, genuinely, like they have fun doing it, I think we make an impact that is truly remarkable. Not many companies that I know is going in that direction. It's usually about some financial gains. So for me, that is rewarding in itself. But I would say that we probably need to partner with someone else and really, you know, step on the gas on the AI side to help them on that next level type of support. And then I'm talking about the frontline managers. So instead of having them coming into our tool and thinking about cool competitions they could set up and who needs an additional lift, who should I coach this week and have an extra talk with, like our software should, through artificial intelligence, surface that to the frontline managers and give them concrete ideas to course correct their performance trajectories and really get to that next level without them having to think for themselves, really. That would make it, that would be an ideal situation. And that's something that we're working towards releasing this year.
And financially, what's that goal that you're looking at, right? So are you looking to exit in the near term or what's the plan here?
I mean, that is not a goal in itself. I think that if there is a new owner that comes in and really believes in what we're doing and want to step on the gas, that would excite a lot of people and it could happen. If that owner has another company that has strong synergies, then, you know, we could merge or, you know, we could become a platform that acquires adjacent software sales tech. But we could also very well just continue as we are because we keep on growing and there's a lot of signals, at least that we're seeing, that the market is improving and things are accelerating, like what I mentioned earlier with the outbound motion being much more effective again.
Yeah.
So I think that we've all been through some hard years, and like the fruit of surviving and thriving in that market is something that we can harvest over the next couple of years. So good years ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks, Sundra. Thanks for taking the time. We hope you scale screen to much, much greater heights.
Thank you, Apendra.